This is Cold Flash Wave, College. A DC's Legends of Tomorrow, The Flash, Combined Universe fanfic, written by Nerjeski and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated G and contains the pre-slash pairing of Mick Rory, Leonard Snart, Barry Allen. With additional tags for college, apartment hunting, robbery, pre-relationship, it's pretty pre. Meet cute. Tumblr prompt. Written for the prompt, I wish you would write a fic where Barry meets Len and Mick while he's still in college. Barry is going to make his way on his own if it's the last thing he does. Sure, he could live at home and listen to Joe and Iris snapping at each other every 5 minutes, but he needs space. And quiet. And not to be there until this whole police academy question is settled. Joe offered to help Barry get a nice apartment, but Barry knows how much Joe is struggling to make sure Iris's college is paid for so that she can start her career with as little debt as possible. Overtime hours, hazard pay, some borrowing against the house that he tries to hide from Barry, everything. Barry can't ask him to do even more. Luckily, Barry's dad made his lawyer the executor of his estate while he was in prison, not Joe, and Barry is able to say with a straight face that he shouldn't worry because Barry had enough money from the trust payments to cover his tuition and get an apartment. It's even technically true. Barry may have deliberately omitted the quality of the apartment, but as long as Stacy from Chemistry is willing to let him pretend to Joe that he's renting one of the rooms in her spacious three-bedroom apartment, there's no need for Joe to ever see this place. It's a room, at least. He's got a mattress and a microwave, and that's all that will fit anyway, so he's fine. It's not like he does anything other than study here. And sure, maybe the neighborhood is kind of crappy. Very crappy. Technically, if you look at the street names, it's not in Central's mafia-ridden slums. Technically. Officially, the slums start on the street immediately to the west of Barry. Of course, the official maps haven't been updated in 15 years, since before the Great Recession. Well, Barry hasn't met any mafiosos yet, so there. After all, there's no reason to judge a guy just because he's in the slums in a slick three-piece suit, and his three friends are all extremely large men who may or may not be exercising their Second Amendment rights under their jackets. Stereotyping is bad. Barry mostly tries to ignore everything that goes on outside the walls of his apartment, but it's hard, given how thin the walls are, or the constantly crying baby from downstairs. Barry's been doing a bit of reading around 2 a.m. on those particularly noisy nights, and while he's not a med student and he's never seen the baby in person, he's about 75% sure it might be a case of colic. Still better than being the middleman in the Great Empty Nest War. Barry's taken to just crashing straight after class, so he ends up waking up to have his dinner around 9 p.m. He checks to make sure the microwavable burrito he bought earlier hasn't totally defrosted in the couple of hours since his torturous midterm, then pops it in the microwave. That's when the door, which Barry has definitely locked, swings open. Barry freezes. The guy at the door freezes too. He's big, easily Barry's height, but much broader, with muscles you can see even under his heavy canvas jacket. And, in a more concerning twist, he's armed. Barry says, wondering what in the world someone would try to rob him for, and planning on protecting the laptop on which his final term paper draft is saved with his life, and possibly a plastic fork. They stare at each other in silence for a long moment. the microwave dings. The guy blinks.
I think your dinner's ready,
he says hesitantly. Oh, yeah, Barry says, turning and pulling the plate out. He'd prefer to just ignore it, but his microwave sometimes starts shorting out if he leaves greasy food in there too long.
Is that a mini-mart burrito?
The guy asks, with just the slightest bit of horror in his voice. Also, he sounds like he's judging Barry hard right now, which, hey! Yes it is, Barry says. I'm a college student. I own nothing, which, to be honest, makes you breaking in here kind of weird for me.
It's listed as utility closet on the plans, the guy says. I'm pretty sure it's illegal for you to be living here.
Don't you dare, Barry says, alarmed. This is the only place in my budget that's not past 8th Avenue.
Do you even have a fridge?
Well, I'd been thinking about a mini fridge, but the outlet keeps sparking when I plug in too many things, and having my phone charged is more important to me.
I'm just going to leave now,
the guy says. You do that.
Please stop living in squalor.
When I graduate and get a job, sure.
What year are you?
Sophomore?
That's just awful,
the guy says, shaking his head, and turns around and leaves, politely pulling the door shut behind him. Barry blinks.
I just got judged by some random guy who may have broken into my apartment,
he says blankly. My life, man. He shakes his head and gets back to eating his burrito.
That's never being mentioned again.
Except 2 days later, he opens his door and the same guy is standing there in the middle of Barry's apartment, except this time he's, like, brought a friend.
What the fuck?
Barry says.
You see what I mean?
The guy says to his friend, who's not quite as big, but still pretty scary-looking, with his close-clipped hair and narrow-eyed expression.
Beautiful face, though.
You're in my apartment, Barry feels compelled to point out.
Yeah, I see what you mean, the friend says. It's outrageous. Does the heat even work?
It's broken right now, Barry says defensively. Then he adds,
why are you in my apartment? Some things are just wrong, okay?
The first guy says.
Mini-mart burritos and a broken microwave are one of them.
I bought a cup of noodles today instead, Barry says. But that doesn't seem to make the guy or his friend any happier.
So, what do you think?
The guy asks, clearly ignoring Barry again. Which, rude, given that this is Barry's apartment, a fact both of them seem to be ignoring. The second guy chews on his lip in thought for a minute, then says,
North Wall. It's not load-bearing, and it'll get us access to something with a kitchen unit set up. Not quite as spacious as to the south, but I think the kitchen's more important.
Definitely, the first guy grunts.
What do you think, kid? Kitchen or space?
Kitchen, I guess, Barry says. I fold up pretty easy, but you can't replace a kitchen.
Also, what are we talking about?
Your wall, the second guy says.
X-wall,
the first guy says. And lifts a sledgehammer that he's been leaning on.
Why is there a sledgehammer?
He's not going to... He is going to take it to Barry's north wall.
What are you doing?
Barry exclaims.
Making space, the second guy says. Obviously, we can't fit a kitchen in here. Because this place is a shoebox,
the first guy grunts.
My landlord's gonna kill me,
Barry moans. Don't worry about it, the second guy says. We've got permission.
You do?
Yep.
Did you obtain this permission by threatening to kill him?
You seem like the sort of person who gets hung up on little details. What's your name again?
Barry Allen, Barry says. Also, I am not. This is not a little detail. That is a big detail.
There were no threats of murder, the second guy says soothingly. Don't worry.
Uh-huh, Barry says, narrowing his eyes. And what about threats of grievous bodily harm?
The second guy has to stop and think about it. Barry's eyes narrow further.
Define grievous, the second guy finally says.
Oh my God.
Listen, why don't you make yourself useful and go get the fridge that's waiting out in the hallway?
There's no fridge in the...
Barry pauses. Then he leans back and looks to the left.
There's a fridge in the hallway. Whose fridge is this?
Yours,
the first guy says, grunting a little from the effort of swinging the sledgehammer.
At the cheap, cheap price of you never eating another mini-mart burrito ever again.
Mick here feels strongly about food, the second guy explains. Now go get the fridge.
Barry, out of a lack of other options, puts his bag down and goes and gets the fridge.
By the time he's managed to get it into his apartment, he has one less wall and a lot more space.
We'll be by with the stove tomorrow, the second guy, whose name Barry still doesn't know, says. Sometime in the morning.
I'm not sure whether to thank you or to complain that you've made me an accessory after the fact, Barry complains.
Stick with thank you, the second guy advises, and leads the way out.
Barry eventually learns that Mick and his friend Lenny are not, in fact, mobsters, as he'd initially thought, but rather just high-end thieves with a reputation for violence that puts the fear of God into his landlord's eyes. He's not sure that's any better, because he thinks they might be stealing his stuff from the mob. He really likes the draw they got him, all dark wood and nice curves, but he did have to throw out about 5 kilos of cocaine from the bottom shelf to make it usable. He gets their numbers, too. Which is great, because they're actually really fun to hang out with once you get over the whole home invasion slash home repair thing. And he's got to admit that their intervention is just in time, because the Great Career War finishes and Joe starts asking questions about Barry's apartment and why he hasn't seen it yet. When shown the real place, he says the location's shitty, but he's impressed Barry got somewhere so spacious for the price he's paying. Barry is never explaining. The end.